finger might open. There we go.
Oh, wow. There. Rough. Oh, wow. That was like way too much head. Said no guy ever. Like, shit. All right. Well, we'll let that settle for a minute. Let's drink out of here.
All right.
Should probably plug this in. Don't want to die on you.
Not on purpose, anyways.
Right. Oh, look what happened. Totally on accident.
Oops, I fell asleep. You're breaking up.
Right.
All right. So what are you drinking today? In that glass.
I'm going local with a Modern Times beer. A nice hazy IPA. Yeah, pretty good. Hazies are kind of like my jam right now.
I haven't had their hazy. Like, I always felt like, I don't know. Modern Times wasn't my favorite IPA. But I mean, you can't really be upset about it.
No. I mean, a good beer is a good beer, right?
So for the purposes of the interview, or hanging out in my locker room, we should say, your name and where you're from.
I am Randy Jenkins. I am from San Diego, California.
And are you playing on like 17 teams now? Is that how it's working?
No, I'm actually only on one hockey team, and I play on a couple softball teams, but plenty of beer drinking abound on both.
What's the current hockey team, if we're talking about it? You are wearing the jersey, so.
Right. South Park Cows. We play at the Joan Crock Center in San Diego, California.
Do you have a coach like the South Park Cows?
No, just the usual captain. And, you know, then there's a couple of guys that like to tell people what to do, but no quote unquote coach to be said.
And what level would you say we're playing at?
So actually we just got moved up to level 3, because I guess we did so well at level 4 that they moved us up. But now that we moved up, we're getting killed every week. So that's fun.
So you're kind of a big deal then.
Right. No, not at all. It was just, I think the league coordinator just decided to do that for whatever reason. I guess it's never happened before, but he wanted to mix things up, and hopefully we get moved back down after next season or after this season. So, you know, realize it was a mistake for us, but I mean, we still have fun. We're a good group, so you can't really complain about that.
You got to get some ringers or just play down or get some horrible people.
Well, we did have like some good players for our division, and then I guess we got, you know, got punished or, you know, gifted the glory of moving up a division and get routed every night. But, you know, hey.
What can you do?
No, what are you going to do? Just play hockey, drink some beer and have fun, right?
Yeah, totally. Mm. So what got you into hockey?
Yeah, just randomly. I met some friends like during high school. We just started playing roller hockey on the tennis courts at the local high school and just kind of took it off from there and ended up joining the league. And then I found out like my high school was starting a roller hockey team, and it was like my senior year. It was barely a club sport, that it was their first year doing a club sport for CIF, and it was pretty loose, slapdash put together, but it was a lot of fun, and you know, it got me on my way for sure.
Did you watch hockey before that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
you just kind of happened into it.
Started about like 6th, 7th grade. Watched a ton of hockey on ESPN. but you know, didn't really know anybody else that was into it until I met a couple friends, you know, my friends Joe and Sean, and we all just kind of like had our, you know, crappy skates and our crappy coho sticks, and we were just out playing and on the, like I said, the high school tennis courts, just not knowing what the heck we're doing and just screwing around, and kind of just took it from there.
I mean, I feel like that's the best way to learn anyway.
Right. We're all just beating each other up, you know, with like minimal gear on and, you know, basically hurting each other. And, you know, we didn't have like shin guards or cups or anything. We just screwing around, and, you know, it was a great time.
So when did you transfer over to ICE?
A few years later, probably, you know, five years later or something like that, when I finally like got a big boy job and I could afford ice hockey, because, you know, obviously there's a huge difference in price from roller hockey to ice. So yeah, I started playing at the Croc Center and, you know, here I am years later, still playing there, you know, playing a few different places since then. But yeah, we were all playing roller, and we all decided, hey, let's do the real thing. Let's play ice. and that was an interesting transition for sure. Cause, you know, obviously it's a little different, actually probably a lot different when you really break it down, but
yeah,
you know, we were just all over the place, but, you know, again, having fun. And
do you feel like one was easier than the other, or do you feel like because you started in roller, it was easier? Or because, you know, like some people feel like it becomes easier over time. I don't know.
Yeah, I've always thought of roller as, you know, it's easier to get started with roller, but it's harder to advance. Whereas ice is harder to get started, but it's easier to take off from there once you kind of get it down.
My thing is, asphalt is so scary. I don't know. Yeah. It's less intimidating than ice, even though I've seen people break like bones and what have you on ice. But like, I don't know. I've always had like a very hateful relationship with asphalt and road rash.
Right. Yeah. Again, yeah. Back to the, you know, playing on the tennis courts, it was just, we end up playing at night and just having cuts and bruises and scratches all over it, but we loved it. But yeah, I mean, I guess eventually when you play in leagues and there's at least sport court, you know, I guess it's a little bit more forgiving. So not as many, road rash on that.
When you're playing on tennis courts, like, were you using, because here they use like metal trash cans if they don't have a net, like, or were you guys just playing the honor system?
it was the turned over trash can. You just, you know, if you got it in the mouth of the trash can, hey, that's a goal, you know. Like, you know, it's, I mean, I guess, you know, it's a little bit harder to score on that. But yeah, and then eventually it was one of us, you know, actually went out and got like goalie gear, you know, the cheapest goalie gear. And, you know, I think he was even playing on his feet at first, and we kind of just used like the fence, like, you know, how it has like the poles that come across as like, you know, the quote unquote net. So if you hit the fence inside the poles, and, you know, hey, that's a goal. But, you know, of course that's like three times bigger than like an actual hockey net. So yeah, it's funny how you just kind of like slapdash everything together to make like a hockey game, so to speak.
I mean, where there's a will, there's a way. So.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
We've been friends for a long time, so I already know this about you, but you do quite a few travel tournaments, like softball and hockey all in one, like you're right. All over the place.
I feel like
Vegas is an annual one for you, though.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, it's fairly easy and cheap to get to. Obviously there's always a ton of stuff to do, and then, you know, there's always a ton of events there as well. So you know, any weekend to get away, you know, have fun with the boys and, you know, party and play. It's a good weekend.
Do you prefer taking a team or do you like the draft style better?
I mean, they both have their advantages. You know, it's a, you know, with the draft is, you know, you get to meet some new friends and people and, you know, they end up being, you know, lifelong friends. Or, you know, of course, you know, you do go with the people you do know and, you know, and you already have like that cohesiveness and fun and stuff like that. So, I mean, they both have their advantages and disadvantages, but, you know, I like them both.
So you wouldn't pick one over the other? You're just going to do them all?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I said, it's like, you know, you know, obviously if it's just a draft style, you're not as a, you know, cohesive, you're not as put together, but you know, hey, you meet some cool friends and new people. So, I mean, those are really like the experiences that you can't really replace, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't done one yet, so we'll see, but.
I'll get you signed up. Let's go.
I really want to do the draft ones just because it's just a different experience, like you said. And like, I don't know, so many of the jerseys and the team names are just so fun.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a great thing, you know, nowadays, like, you know, the past few years, like people, you know, come up with so many creative names and team names, especially with, you know, like the technology of, you know, it's so easy to make new jerseys and, you know, you can really do some neat things with, you know, the sublimited jerseys and stuff like that it's so accessible now.
Yeah, you know, you're not spending an arm and a leg.
Yeah, and it's so accessible. Like you can, you know, how many jersey vendors are there out there nowadays willing to, you know, put anything on a jersey for you, and you know, and you could do it pretty quickly and, you know, relatively inexpensive. You know.
Yeah, I mean, and some of these are just incredibly made. Yours looks fantastic. It looks right. It's stitched and. You guys went for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they did a great job with it. The jerseys are a Hockey Monkey. And then I believe, you know, the captain got the patches from somewhere else. I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, it's a pretty great jersey. And then, I mean, yeah, like I said, it wasn't like an arm and a leg to get it done either. So it's pretty nice. Nice day and age to get, you know, quality jerseys without, you know, going crazy over them.
Yeah. How did you guys decide on the South Park Cows?
Well, South Park Cows was before me. I've only, unfortunately, only been playing with them like the past couple seasons. I shouldn't say unfortunately, it was very fortunate, but I haven't been there since day one. Or anything,
I've been put on their team on accident.
Yeah, no. Was it no? I was looking for a team, you know, after the pandemic and stuff like that. But luckily I was able to reach out to my buddy, Mike Van Grin, you know, he's in the, you know, put in the good word for me to come play on the team. But yeah, you know, the captain, I guess, I believe he came up with it, you know, he's about the same age as me. You know, the South Park is kind of like in the nostalgia wheelhouse. So they kind of went with that. And we're kind of like fun team. So, you know, it kind of goes with that. You know, we just randomly move on the ice, you know, so it's pretty fun. It's a fun group and it's, you know, kind of goes along with that.
Do you guys ever do you give out udders when you win or like
milkshakes? No, actually, no. Is it, yeah, that's probably a good, I would love to have a good milkshake after a game. No, actually, probably the closest thing we do have our MVP award for each game, which is, and we give out a cowbell.
Okay. So, well, at least you get more cowbell.
yeah, definitely always more cowbell. But yeah, the MVP gets a, you know, cowbell and take pictures and throw that up on social media. It's pretty fun.
That is pretty fun. after I used to play at Croc when we were doing the late night sessions, used to always go to Jack in the Box. So.
Oh, right. Yeah, right there on the corner.
Full confession, used to have milkshakes after every game.
Oh, wow. There you go. You were just on the wrong team. That's all.
Yeah, I should have been on the Cows.
Right, for sure.
Thank you to you, by the way. If it weren't for Randy, I don't think I would have made it through the pandemic. He got me on multiple not skates.
Right.
You know, we were just all meeting at the ice rink, but not skating together, you know.
Right.
We didn't do anything like that. It was completely, you know, social distancing.
Right, right.
And we did hang him out in the parking lot afterwards.
Right, right, right. That was definitely not happening. But yeah, it was definitely rough in the pandemic, not being able to play, you know, playing the sport that you love, but, you know, finally being able to get together and do some pickup games, you know, after everything had calmed down was a great time.
It definitely helped most of us keep our sanity, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah, like I said, it's when it's the game you love, it's one of the things you love doing. And, you know, then there's the social aspect of it too. You know, it helps out with like mental health, you know, seeing the people that, you know, you commiserate with and have fun with, you know, just brings the spirits up for sure.
Yeah. So how do you balance? I know that most of us have multiple teams, but you're dealing with a hockey team and softball teams. Like, how do you keep a schedule together and like a social life and a work life balance?
Yeah, just a lot of planning, you know, calendars on your phone help, you know, that always helps. But yeah, I mean, again, you know, if it's something you love doing, you just kind of make the time and effort and, you know, the mental bookmarks in your head and stuff like that to make sure it all balances. And, you know, obviously good, like, you know, self-care helps and, you know, making sure you stretch enough and get enough water to make sure you're good to go every week.
Are they called tournaments for softball too? See, this is how ignorant I am.
No. Yeah. They're called tournaments as well. Yes.
And you do a lot of those for that too, right? I feel like you're always gone every weekend.
Maybe not every weekend, but yeah, sometimes it feels that way. Yeah.
It feels like you're gone a lot. And like, I feel like you're pretty impressive with it all.
Right. Right. I mean, I just, you know, sounds so cliche, but you know, I love to travel, and you know, like I said, it's good to see friends, and you know, just kind of, you know, it's a good escape from, you know, the real problems at home. You know, that's why it's always so fun to play. You know, you keep that perspective, which I never understood. You know, people that play tournaments and they get heated at games, and you know, like, or you know, the bigger extreme of people wanting to fight or God knows what else. It's just like, I mean, relax. This is, you know, this is fun. This is the stuff that this is the good times, you know. This is what we get away from, like, the real problems at home, you know. Just go out, have fun, and enjoy your buddies, have a beer.
I am always so shocked when people get angry and break sticks at games. Oh, right. Or even when people get upset at, like, pickups. I'm just like,
right.
You do realize that, like...
Right, especially pickups. Yeah, especially pickups. It's like you're not even playing for like league championships. It's like, yeah, that's, you know, it's pretty important. Like, you know, everybody wants to win it in a league, but it's like, in a pickup, it's like you're literally playing for nothing. Like, you're playing for exercise and you're paying for it as well. You know, there's nothing lost by losing this game. I mean, which that's another thing of it is like you don't even keep scoring a pickup game, but. You know, so always those tryhards, you know, I've always said, you know, like they're the people, they're either two types. It's either they're reliving their glory days or this is their glory days, you know.
So either way, like, they're paying for it, not getting paid to do it. So
exactly. Yeah. Like I said, nothing lost.
So either way, it's silly. And
right. Exactly. But
I mean, one of the teams that we played that my team played against last weekend, like they came into the locker room afterwards and were just slamming sticks and it was completely silent. And it was just like,
right
to me, like even to win and be upset, like that you didn't get right. stuff done. It's like,
right.
It's so crazy to me.
right. Yeah. I mean, I guess there is the side of it is like, you know, you're passionate about the sport and, you know, you're competitive but yeah, it is once you kind of hit that locker room, you just kind of realize that, you know, at the end of the day, like it doesn't mean anything. Like, you still got to go back to your 9 to 5. You still got to, you know, take care of your family. You still have your bills to pay, like, you know. But, you know, I guess if that's, you know, your escape, you know, you want to be, you know, on the winning side of it. So I guess it's somewhat understandable, but I don't know. But, you know, that's why I like my team I'm on, you know, even though, like I said, we've been kind of like trounced every week, and, you know, we still kind of get in the locker room, we throw on like some fun music and, you know, enjoy some beers and, you know, kind of go on with our day, you know, still a good time.
I mean, that's really like, I don't know. I've always signed up for teams knowing that I was going to lose. So just like, if I make a good save, that's all that matters to me.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's all you can do, is like, you just go out and do your best as much as you possibly can, you know,
and try to let go of like what I cannot control, you know, like, stuff's going to go in and there's only so much I can do.
Right. Exactly.
So what is the next tournament for you?
I am going to Chicago this summer. I need to look at what days they are, but yeah, there's one in Chicago coming up. As far as hockey goes, and then as far as softball, just gonna scoot up to Long Beach for a weekend pretty soon here. I'm totally messed up. Yeah, there's one in San Diego. No, and then there's one in San Diego here in July. And then the week after that, I'm playing a softball tournament in Sonoma County, which is a really cool one because it's in Sonoma County, like wine country, trees, and it's actually a cancer research tournament. So like a fundraiser for a cancer research.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. It's a smaller tournament. So you have plenty of time to, you know, there's a river that runs through town. So you go rafting and stuff like that, or you go wine tasting. It's really great.
Oh, so it's like a vacation, really.
Yeah. That one is more so, yeah, it's more of like a vacation, not so much like one of the bigger tournaments. You know, it's, you know, only so many teams and it's real quick and easy.
That sounds lovely.
It is. That's why I do it every year.
How is it? I know that some people really complain about traveling with their gear. How do you feel about it, like flying with your gear?
I'm okay with it. I mean, you just kind of learn how to do it. You know, it's just kind of one of those necessary evils. I mean, that's why I usually fly like Southwest, where they don't like charge you for your bags. So that's a big help too. But yeah, it's, you know, you, like I say, you just kind of plan it out, you know, hey, you're going to spend a little bit more time at the airport, but it's not like it's a huge difference, at least personally. Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, of course, you know, with softball and hockey, it's a little bit different, you know, like hockey is way more involved. And of course, you know, usually you generally want to pick a place to stay that has like a balcony so you can air your stuff out, you know, but.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. You just, you know, throw your stuff out on the balcony, let it air out overnight and, you know, pick it up. But
yeah, that's smart.
Yeah. You know, you've done it a few times, you kind of learn that, but.
Does it work in humidity though?
Well, I don't travel a lot to the south, so
so we don't,
I
mean,
luckily I haven't, you know, really gone anywhere that's humid, at least for, you know, a softball or hockey tournament. So you know, yeah, that'd be pretty terrible if it was pretty humid. No thanks. I mean, I would assume ultimately it's probably better than just leaving it in your bag overnight anyway. So
yeah, I feel like leaving it in your bag regardless is gross.
Yeah. I mean,
besides the fact that some tournaments, like, you have an early, like a late night and an early morning, so like,
oh yeah,
otherwise you're putting on wet stuff anyways.
Right,
which is gross.
Yeah, it's like you leave it in your bag, it might as well just be like hermetically sealed and keeps all the grossness in.
For sure. So we've already talked about it, but you talked a lot about stretching, and Randy used to massage me at one point, and then he had a big life change and now no longer does it. But you were the first one that I've ever met that definitely put mobility and stretching above all to keep yourself in the game.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's huge. I mean, luckily I haven't, you know, knock on wood, had too many injuries playing sports, but I mean, it's certainly mobility is, you know, what keeps you in the game. You know, it's cause you know, like you do your regular workouts and regular stretches, you know, it's when you do things outside your normal range of motion is where you get in trouble with injuries. So that's kind of where you have to train yourself to do exercises that are outside of like the normal, like, you know, linear, like one motion movement, like workouts. You know, it's like you got to twist and, you know, contort your body to in stretches and workouts to kind of like mimic, you know, those unusual movements that you make, especially during hockey, you know, as a goalie or as a skater. You know, it's a very randomized game as far as like, you know, body movement, because you never know where that puck's going to go at any time. And, you know, you're going to always kind of contort your body to make up for that. So it's kind of like you have to train yourself accordingly, at least the best you can. You know, you never know what's going to happen, but, you know, you always want to give yourself the best chance to stay healthy and away from the injury bug.
I could not agree more, especially even like the little things. Like I had a friend that broke his leg on the ice and like it was in a toe pick hole like that, you know, and like it was just enough that like his mm-hmm. blade, or, you know, his blade got stuck and like his leg twisted enough. And it's like those are even some things that even as he was an avid gym rat, like it still like was like one of those that you weren't expecting. So like,
right,
like you said, like good ankle mobility, good stuff that you're not always thinking about, like mm-hmm. can actually save you a lot in the long run.
Right. Yeah. It's funny. Cause like, even like in warmups that, you know, I do like these stretches on the ice, and, you know, I know people like look at me, I've even had teammates kind of like make fun of me for doing like these weird stretches on the ice, like, but I'm like, well, I really don't get injured that much, so I, you know, make fun of me all you want, but, you know, I'm doing what's best for me. And, you know,
especially as we get older.
Right. I mean, I'm no spring chicken myself, and I'm definitely aware of that, so
totally from the spring time chicken. What are you talking about?
Especially
25.
Yeah. Maybe flip that around. Well, maybe not that old, but close enough.
And you said self-care. Are you still taking care of yourself and doing like baths and saunas or what do you
well, yeah, I mean, luckily, you know, the gym I go at, you know, there's a sauna. I mean, you know, I try to do stretches in there, but yeah, you know, getting massages, you know, stretching, foam rolling, as you know, is very important. You know, it kind of sucks at the time, but, you know, you kind of want to make sure you're at your best for playing, you know. You know, you don't want to, that's what I, you know, and it's always a lot funner to play a game when you're feeling fresh and healthy instead of, you know, tight and heavy, and, you know, because you're not taking care of yourself. So,
I mean, that's the hardest thing is like, we want to put as much time on the ice as we can, but the time off the ice is just as important, if not more, to keep us healthy, especially even as beer league players, like, you know, professionals, they get a lot more time in the gym and they get like, you know, they have a staff and they, they have somebody to help them like with their diet plan and what have you. So it's just good to think about it. I mean,
right.
It's extra time, but if you want to do it, you got to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I get it, you know, we all have our personal lives and we have to work, you know, our work is, you know, to be in an office or, you know, whatever, you know, drive a truck or whatever it is, you know, where as professionals, their job is to be in the gym and to stretch and, you know, eat properly. You know, that is their job. So yeah, I get it. It's not easy to do, but I mean, if you know, you spend, you know, a little bit of time each day to better yourself, or, you know, just to stay healthy and, you know, consistent, it's, you know, it goes a long way. But
yeah. Could not agree more.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, you know, like it's that time in between, you know, you talked about when I used to be a massage therapist, and, you know, people would come to me all the time. Oh, I have this problem. I'm like, well, what are you doing in between, you know, the 2 or 3 weeks you're doing, you know, coming to see me? Oh, nothing. I mean, they just kind of leave it up to me to try to work out what they're doing, when really the real work is, you know, what they do in between that makes the real difference. Cause I see them for an hour, you know, once a month, where, you know, how they have all that time, you know, 4 weeks in between to work on themselves. So again, yeah. I know it's not easy, but you know, it's also important.
It's also like, I tell everybody, cause like, they're always like, I want to lose this weight in 2 weeks or whatever, as a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. And it's like, right. How long do you think it took you to put that on? 5, 10 Absolutely. Years? Probably. It's probably going to take that much time to take it off. Like, realistically. Right. So the same thing goes for like injuries. Like if you're not mm-hmm. putting in the time and you're just sitting on the couch, like you can still lay on a foam roller while you're watching the same mm-hmm. show. You can still binge watch TV.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or playoffs. You can watch playoffs.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just a little shift in mindset that makes a huge difference.
Yeah. It's just putting in the time and like making the time. Like it's stuff, like it's a work-life balance, and not all of us are on like 50 teams like you are, but it's possible.
right. Well, exactly. It's, you know, you have to remember, it's like, yeah, I'm, you know, people are like, oh, I'm too tired to work out, or, and then, you know, there's times where you're truly too tired, but it's like, well, you're too tired now, but you know, the time you put in and then the recovery, you know, before you know it, you're not going to be too tired because you're becoming healthier and stronger.
And there's little things that you can do. Like I have a morning routine and an evening routine, and it's just like, it's 5 minutes and like, or 10 minutes. It doesn't take me that long, and it takes me that long to wake up anyway. So.
Right. And my thing is like, it's just do something. You know, a lot of people are, you know, they think they have to go in the gym and smash out weights and, you know, hulk it out. It's like, you know, hey, you know, maybe some days you're not feeling up to it, you know, just get on an elliptical and, you know, or do a bike or something, just get your heart rate up and start it that way. You know, you don't have to, you know, lift a million pounds to be better. Like, no, just do something.
Days off are really important, and you can always go to a yoga class too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or yoga. And I say that too. It's just like, it doesn't have to be smashing weights. You could walk, or, you know, find a sport you enjoy, or, you know, whatever activity you find enjoyable, you know, if it's surfing or skateboarding or, you know, riding a bike, you know, whatever you find enjoyable that you're going to do on a regular basis, do that.
Yeah. It's just, and you know, adding what you can. That's all. Mm-hmm. That's all we're saying.
Absolutely.
So you are one of my biggest heroes, I should say, because you walk proudly as an ally. And it is so hard even now to talk about being an ally and giving people a comfortable, safe place to be. And not only are you an amazing ally, but you also play on teams and are very supportive. And you were one of the first ones I've ever seen with Pride tape and Pride jerseys. So what do you think made you feel comfortable in it? I mean, well, that's not even the question. Like, I just feel like we're still all kind of dancing around it, even though like,
right,
like I have a team that, like, you know, it's mainly made up of the queer community, and it's just like, but it's not something to be uncomfortable to talk about. But I still feel like not being a member of the community all the time is like, being the ally is hard to talk about, because it's like, if you don't say something, are, you know, like, it's the whole thing. So it's like, for you, I always felt like it was a safe place and you always made people feel comfortable regardless of who they are.
Right, right. First off, thank you for the huge compliment. I appreciate it. I mean, I don't know if hero is, but I thank you. From the beginning, I think, you know, huge credit to my mom, like the way she raised me. Growing up as a kid, you know, it was just me and my mom and, you know, doing her best as a single mother. You know, we kind of grew up in a, you know, low economy area part of town. So, you know, it was very diverse, you know, people of immigrants, you know, people, you know, of every background, you know, race, creed, you know, sexuality, you know, even as a kid, I had, you know, gay neighbors, you know, I had black neighbors, even in like in our duplex, we had a garage. And then I guess the landlords rented out the garage to like a reggae shop, you know, it's like, so, you know, it's like, there's this couple that, you know, that owned this reggae shop, you know, I learned about reggae, you know, you know, obviously very different culture than my own. And, you know, my mom taught me from the beginning, like, hey, you know, everybody has the same wants, needs, and, you know, everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be respected, you know, it's funny. I think back, she told me, like, you know, back then she was a nurse. She's like, oh, if you cut a person open up, like they have the same organs, the same, and it's all the same colors and it works the same way. You know, it's just like, everybody's the same on the inside. You know, why would you treat them differently on the outside? That kind of thing. So it was just, I guess, you know, ever since then, it was just, I'd never really kind of like differentiated, you know, color, creed, like I said, or, you know, sexuality. It was just like, people are people, you know, and which is funny, because like I grew up in that situation where it was very mixed, very diverse. And then, you know, later in life, you know, when I got to high school, my mom, you know, had saved up enough money and she bought a condo in a very predominantly white area. And it was just a very, very like shell-shocking kind of like, you know, remember first day of like walking around school and like, wow, this is really bizarre. Like, so yeah, it's just, it's, you know, it's from, like I said, from the beginning, it was, you know, it was never really a thing to me. And because it wasn't until I moved into the predominantly white area, I didn't even know what racism was, like, until, you know, you started hearing it from, you know, the kids at school there, and it was very jarring. But yeah, as an ally, you know, especially playing hockey. Yeah. I mean, it is interesting dance of like when to talk about it and when not to talk about it, you know? But you know, it's like you said, like I play with my pride tape. So it's pretty evident of like where like my beliefs and, beliefs lie and like what my mentality is. So, I mean, usually I don't run into too many problems. I don't think I've only had one time where there was a problem on the ice. Playing up in Carlsbad, there was a guy on the other team, which, funny enough, he was like one of those a-hole ringers that like was too good for the division and
shouldn't have been there. Anyways.
Yeah, and was a not only that, but he was a real chippy, just like a real dirty player. But it came down to one play where he dropped the gay F word several times to one of our players and got ejected and like thrown out of the league because of it. You know, credit to the referees in the league for making that happen. But I mean, luckily, you know, that's the only time I've ever had kind of like any problems with any kind of like homophobic slurs or any kind of like pushback, like on like the pride tape, you know, stuff like that.
I feel like we're starting to make huge strides in that direction of like, where like, you know, especially with the NHL and even like the ECHL are really, I mean, I think every league, you know, from the goals to like, you know, bigger teams too, like are all making the strides to have a hockey is for everyone and like have a pride night, which, you know, like on these smaller levels were not a thing, especially you know, in the South before, like, you know, we weren't,
right.
It wasn't being talked about. We're like, you know, I went to an Allen Americans game that was hockey is for everyone. And then they had a pride night, and like to see everybody buy the pride jerseys was just so like, I'm even like welling up thinking about it just because it's like, it's one of those things that it's just like, those are still our brothers and sisters, and, you know, we're still here to support them. And like, you know, I play with multiple, and it's just like, you know, who they are doesn't, and you know, who we love doesn't change how we play normally.
Right.
Unless you're a ringer and then forget you anyway.
right. Exactly.
Then you're just an a-hole to begin with, and we just don't want to talk about it.
right.
But I mean, out of it all, you have been one of the biggest ones to, like, before it was cool, you were one of the first ones out there doing it. And I was in awe of it because I don't know if I was ready at the time when I first started you doing it, just because the backlash was so scary to me. But now that I see it, like, I was like, that was my ignorance kind of and my fear. But it's like these, you know, my friends have to live with that every day. And it's like, why wouldn't I want to stand up for them? Like, that was just silly on my part. And that's why I appreciate you so much, is because it was like, you never had a problem with it.
right. I mean,
you
I
saw the need for it, which is cool.
There is two parts of it. It's like, you want to support your friends, and too, there is a need for it. You know, it's just, you know, you, because I mean, it's, you know, one thing for them to say things, but it's just like you said, within allies, it's just like, it's just another step forward to have people that, you know, like you and I, that are allies to support them. You know, it's, but you know, it's a very real thing that is still out there. You know, it's, you know, with, you know, them doing pride nights and hockey is for everyone, you know, it's, there is still moments that, like, you feel like there is like two steps forward, one step back kind of thing. You know, it's like, you know, you see, anytime you see an NHL team or whoever, you know, even MLB, you know, any of the major leagues, they do any kind of like pride night or anything, and you look at it, the comments on any kind of post, and it's just like, oh, you know, just stick to the game, you know, keep your politics out of it, you know, go home, or, you know, that kind of thing. Like, oh, why can't we just talk about, you know, and then, you know, or there's the whole thing with, I mean, I don't know if you saw recently with, you know, Nazem Kadri, and, you know, his wife posted all the direct messages of, you know, the very, very racist things that were sent to her and her husband. You know, it's just like, it's a, you know, I am very grateful to be in San Diego. That's very progressive, but, you know, there's plenty of outliers, and there's plenty of parts around the country that, you know, it's not as progressive, and they're not as willing to, you know, accept, you know, different, you know, races, or, you know, different gender identities, or, you know, or different sexualities. You know, it's just, it's frustrating, but, you know, you have to take pause and, you know, understand that, you know, there is plenty of people out there that are willing to move forward. And, you know, it's hopefully that it's just a generational thing, and it'll eventually go away. But I mean, it's, all you can do is just, you know, educate people, and, you know, let them know that, hey, everybody, like I said, everybody's the same. Everybody has, you know, everybody's just doing their best to get along and, you know, live a full and wonderful life, you know?
Yeah.
You know, as much as they can, you know?
And I just appreciate that about you, that, like, you were very open with, when I had questions about stuff, you know, and like, it's one thing to say you're an ally and like be around it and like, you know, like support your friends and all that stuff. But it's also a completely other thing to like make people watch their mouths in the locker room. Like, you know, we can't, like you said, we can't use the queer F word in the locker room for any reason. And you shouldn't be calling stuff like, you know, a ref gay for any reason, because it's like, that's not what it's about, and like, that's not what like, it's also taking that step and like being there, like, to be like, hey dude, that's not cool, like, you know, like,
right.
I mean, it's that whole like, see something, say something, which is like, it's hard, but like that's what's a part about being an ally. Is like you're not just sitting back and like, yes, like the locker room is full of fun and like it should be an amazing place and it should be jokes and chirping and like, you know, like definitely you want to have a thick skin. Like I definitely feel like you should be able to take a joke. But it shouldn't have to be at anybody's expense, you know, like it shouldn't have to make anybody feel uncomfortable. So that was one of the biggest things that I appreciated about you too. So now that we've gloated about that a lot, now that we've made Randy blush, yeah, I just, like you said, it's a generational thing. And I think that we're definitely moving to the right space and like, you know, stepping up and saying something is definitely just as important as wearing the jersey or saying that you're something. So,
For sure.
Yeah. So on a brighter note,
right on.
What made you a Blackhawks fan as he's wearing the hat?
I mean, short story, Chris Chelios. I mean, I was just a real fan of his when I was watching the games, you know. Obviously back then, you know, it wasn't no internet. It wasn't like you got to watch every team, but I just was really into him and stuff like that. I was really, you know, obviously real hard-nosed player, just, you know, just not a lot of flash, just, you know, grinded it out, got it done. And then of course, you know, growing in San Diego, like we didn't have our own team here. So, and then of course, like the nearest team was the LA Kings, and being from San Diego, you can't be an LA fan. So it was just, I was like, okay, well, like Chris Chelios, I like the Blackhawks. I like their jerseys and, you know, they're fun. So, you know, I just kind of, even though, you know, that was in the 90s and they're like, probably like their darkest part of their history, but you know, it was just for whatever reason, I just kind of just latched onto it and just, was a fan ever since.
And you go to Chicago like frequently now. I feel like you go like every year.
Oh yeah, it's a great city. You know, it's a great place to watch games, you know, whether it's, you know, Cubs games or Blackhawks, but I mean, it's a great city. You know, if anybody listening has never been, definitely go. You know, obviously during the warmer season, but you know, plenty to do, great, you know, great activities, you know, great places to eat and drink. You know, it's a very eclectic city. I know it's whatever you're into, whether it's, you know, it is sports or arts or, you know, whatever, it's, there's definitely plenty there to do.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been, but I've heard great things.
right.
So nailed it.
Words are hard.
Words are fun. Are you still a season goals ticket holder?
No. No, I just went to a lot of games. No, it may seem like I had season tickets, but no, I just went a lot, which is, you know, the goals have always been like a love hate for me, you know, being a Blackhawks fan and the goals being associated with the Ducks, but
baby Ducks.
Yeah. That part's never been fun. I've always like thought, I was like, man, if they were the minor league team for just about any other team, I mean, pretty much any other team besides the Ducks, I would be like a full on goals fan, but
probably would have been LA.
right. Yeah. I mean, I think I'd rather them be like the minor league for LA than the Ducks.
Oh, dang.
but yeah, I mean, well, even when I lived, you know, for the people that don't know, I lived in LA for 3.5 years and I went to plenty of Kings games. You know, they were a lot of fun. And, you know, with that rivalry with the Blackhawks, like that was like a fun rivalry. Like it was good, hard fought games. Whereas, I don't know, with, you know, the games they played against the Ducks just never really sat well with me, you know. But, you know, yeah, like I said, much rather than be the LA Kings minor affiliate, but hey, you know, it's a San Diego team, so you know, I still gotta to rep the home team. So it's, you know, I still go out and have fun, you know, usually go out with the boys and, you know, have a few beers there, especially when it's, you know, $5 or $2 Bud Light night, you know, gets a little wacky, but you know, it's a good time.
It's for everybody. So the Gulls have a $2 Bud Light night on Fridays. And normally you can only get 4 at a time.
2 and it, at a time.
Oh, they stopped that? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's 2 at a time and it stops in the second. So like it comes to people like stacking the cans and like it gets wild.
right, for sure. Yeah. It's a good idea on paper, maybe not so much in practice, but yeah, people have fun with it. Like you said, people make, you know, these massive, you know, structures with all their beer cans. It's pretty wild.
And it does bring the fans in. Like it brings like the college kids and like, you know, it brings everybody in, especially after San Diego lost the Chargers. Like it was kind of like one of the bigger things for us to like kind of have another team to root for.
Oh yeah, it was huge. It was like right after like they left, right? So
yeah,
it was definitely like a rallying point. People really got behind the team. And yeah, you know, kudos to the fans. We have great fans, plenty of people that are super into them. It's good atmosphere, you know, small venue, so it's, you know, not a bad seat in the house. So
yeah, it's bigger than the Coyote Stadium now, so that's exciting.
Right, yeah, Coyote Stadium, that's a whole other shit show.
Oh, well, yeah, you're kind of more of a voyeur on social media, but you do post some good stuff. If you want people to follow you on social media, otherwise go find him at a tournament.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. If you want to follow my social media, it's HockeyStar59 on Instagram, or we do have our beer.
And that's his team. Number, not his age.
Yeah. Not yet, at least. Yeah. Couple more weeks away. Yeah, and then we have our South Park Cows at Instagram if you want to go follow that. So
are you and the cows doing a tournament together?
Yeah, this is the San Diego one in July. So
the Stay Classy one, is that what it's called?
Okay. Stay Classic, yeah, or something. Yeah, something Stay like
Classic.
That.
I think you're right.
yeah I'm not the one that has to organize the hockey stuff, so you know, usually
you just go and show up
is my thing. yeah, which is kind of nice. It's a nice balance, you know, softball stuff I run and, you know, hockey stuff I just kind of show up. So it's nice when I can just relax and just show up.
I feel like that's the only reason why I haven't wanted to be a part of a team is just because, or like a captain, there we go. I want to be a part of a team. I don't want to be a captain just because I like just showing up and not having to wrangle people and be like, are you sure you're coming this week?
Right. Yeah. I mean, at least nowadays with apps, you know, you have like the team apps and stuff like that. People can like say if they're in or out.
I am still the worst. I'm like, yeah, I forget to do it all the time.
I mean, yeah, it certainly helps a lot better than back in the day where you're just like, you had to do it like on paper or whatever, or try to keep mental tabs of it, you know.
Before we even had text messages and you had to call.
Oh, yeah. Right. Or yeah, you just like the week before, you know, the game before, you're like, oh, you're going to be here next week? I don't know. Shoot. I mean, the biggest part is always having like a consistent goalie, because if you don't have a consistent goalie, that's when things go to crap.
Yeah, because there's only one of us.
Yeah, exactly.
I get asked that all the time. They're always like, you're playing hockey so much. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm one goalie where you can have 7 players and be okay, you know, or 3 players and be okay.
Well, semi-okay.
You're not going to win, but you can still play a game.
Right. Yeah, having no goalie is... although sometimes like people play better when you don't have a goalie because they're like, oh, crap, we can't let anything go by.
Yeah. Defense shows up for once.
Right, exactly.
Not a bit of goalie, I swear.
Yeah, no. But yeah, I mean, everybody's so worried about trying to score the goal that, you know, defense goes out the window.
Yeah, for sure. but I'm trying to be nice and not bitter. So
no, no, no bitter Betty's here.
No, no tense tendies.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for hanging out with me.
Absolutely.
And having a beer with me.
Exactly. Much needed beer. That was a good beer.
Yeah. It's always a good beer in the locker room.
Right. All right.